Good to see everybody here this morning. You all okay this morning? Everybody okay? One of the things that I was thinking about this week, often when I prepare a sermon, there's a song that'll be in my heart all week. And there has been a song this week. It's called His Love. And it's an old vineyard song back in the 90s. In the words of that song, His love is higher than the highest of mountains. His love is deeper than the deepest of seas. His love, it reaches to the farthest horizon. And His love, it reaches to me. His love is sweeter than the sweetest of honey. His love is like the choicest of wine. His love stretches to the farthest horizon. And His love in Jesus, it is mine. And I would just like us just to take a moment this morning to just be quiet. What is it that you've come in here this morning with? Fear? Anxiety? Worry? Overwhelmed? You feel trapped? Whatever situation? Just want to give Holy Spirit an opportunity to just quieten our hearts. We're going to talk about His love this morning. We're going to talk about a prayer. I'm going to tell you about a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. But I could talk and lecture and do it all, go into all of it. But I just want to give Him an opportunity right now from the very beginning. Just give Everlasting Father what's on your heart right now. Papa God, we come. More than just coming here for an hour and leave. More than coming here, Lord, just to hear a sermon. Lord, we need You. And we need a fresh encounter with You. A fresh encounter of Your love. We've sung about it. We've read about it. But for many of us, Lord, it feels really far away. And so we give to You now, Lord, the things that are on our heart. And we thank You, Lord, that Your love, that nothing can separate us from Your love. We pray, Holy Spirit, You would come and You would shed abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. Lord, as You've brought this word, even this morning, Lord, given me more, I thank You that Your word is alive, that we can encounter You in Your word. And I pray that today, Lord, for those of us that in this room, that we are really struggling right now, I pray that You would come and minister to the hearts of Your sons and Your daughters, that they would know that You are the resurrected Savior of the world who lives and reigns and loves them. Pray You would bind every distraction, anything that would hinder us from hearing Your word. We just say go in Jesus' name. Any lies that we have believed about ourselves that You don't love us, we just pray that that lie would go in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, that You would come, that You would teach us, that You would reveal Jesus to us, and more than just hearing words, Lord, that we would encounter the living word, that we would encounter You. We need You. We need You. We need You. Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint Your word, anoint me, anoint us to hear. Give me the words to say to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I pray courage and boldness. And Lord, we lay down all of the things that we're thinking about, and may we encounter You. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, 2 weeks ago, I taught the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And today we're going to look at this, His second prayer. It's sandwiched right in the middle of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As I read that, it reminded me a lot, as I've been looking at this, it reminds me a lot of the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And some of you weren't here when we talked about that prayer, but just to review a little bit, it is okay to pray the prayers that are in the Bible. I used to think that was plagiarism, you couldn't do that, but that's not true. You can pray the prayers that are in the Bible. And these are some of the most, these are my favorite prayers, and these are the prayers that I probably pray most often for myself, for you all, and there's such an incredible depth in these prayers. And so I want to go back and just read very briefly the prayer back in Ephesians chapter 1 and see if there are any repetitions here. See if there's anything that, like we just read Ephesians 3, if there's anything in this prayer that reminds you of the prayer in Ephesians 1. Because there's such a beauty and a depth here that if we prayed these and we leaned into it and said, and had an open heart and said, God, do this. Do it, Lord. I want you to do it in me. I want you to do it in my family. It's going to change us. It will change us because there's such power in this prayer. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation to know him better, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him head as over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And in that Ephesians 1 prayer, he's talking about, I want you to know him better. It's a powerful, beautiful, I think, truth for us that Paul had preached longer at Ephesus than anywhere else. He had given him everything he had, and he says, I want you to know him more. There's more about Jesus than what I can teach you. There's more about Jesus than what you've seen. And he said, it's big. Jesus is big, and it's bigger. And he talks about glory, and he talks about hope, and he talks about power. And you come to Ephesians chapter 3, and there's a repetition of those themes, isn't there? In Ephesians 1, he's talking about Jesus, who Jesus is and what he's done, and there's more about Jesus. And he comes to Ephesians chapter 3, and he says, I bow my knees before this one. And he talks about the glory, and he focuses in on one aspect of Jesus, on one aspect of God, that if we can get a handle on it, it will change our lives. And it'll change our community. It'll change our family. It'll change things, everything around us, because we're going to be different. He says, I bow my knees, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory. I love that because he's talking about Father in heaven, eternal Father. And in Ephesians 1, he calls him the Father of glory. And in here in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I bow my knees before this Father through heaven. He defines fatherhood. Every father gets his name. Every Jesus, God, the Almighty One, he defines what fatherhood is. And out of the riches of his glory, what's he pray? He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. How many times in our lives as we journey with Jesus do we just feel really weak? Do we feel really afraid? Do we feel really like, oh God, I can't do this. This situation is bigger than me. This what's going on in the world is bigger than me. Lord, I'm scared. My heart feels weak. And Paul says, I pray that God would strengthen you with His Spirit. Be strong, be strengthened in your inner man, in your inner, that's us too, women. We don't have an inner man, but our inner person, he's praying for strength there. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your heart. That word for dwell, there's a little pamphlet that came out, I think it was like in the 1980s. That's when I became aware of it. It may be older than that. But My Heart, Christ's Home. You guys ever read that? Have you ever seen that little pamphlet? My Heart, Christ's Home. And the author of that little pamphlet, he describes our inner life as Jesus coming in. And we have a living room. We also have closets that maybe we don't want Jesus to come into. And he talks about our heart, Christ's home. And that word there for dwell is a word to make home. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Jesus just doesn't want to be somebody that you just complain to or you just give all of your requests to and then you kind of forget about him and you go about your day. Jesus wants to inhabit you. He wants you to invite Him into every part of who you are. He wants to be a presence with you as you go out through your entire day. There's intimacy involved. There's just interaction involved. There's hanging out with Jesus, just being with Him as we go through our day. We'll get to this word in a minute, but I've studied this passage. I've been meditating on it all week and was looking at the Greek last night. I've probably written more on this passage of Scripture than any passage in the Bible. I've written exegesis papers on it. I have done Bible studies on it. I've loved this passage of Scripture. So I was reviewing last night, and as I was eating breakfast this morning, and I just saw the Holy Spirit flashed up one of the Greek words we're going to get to later, and I just could see it, and I'm like, Lord, do you want me to look more at it? So I looked at it, and He unveiled more to me than I've ever seen before. He'll speak to us while we're eating breakfast. He wants to break in. He wants to break in, and He wants that relationship with us while we wash dishes, while we're out driving, while we're working in the yard. He wants that kind of relationship with us. And there's a depth to Him. There's a beauty to His Word that as much as I've studied this, He's given me more. And there's more here. There's more about His love. There's more about Him than we've ever seen. And He wants to dwell. He wants to live. He wants to have a home in our heart. And we need to let Him in. Say, Lord, I need You. I need Your help. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. I've been sharing with you the last several weeks when I preached on Isaiah 9. I cannot get that scripture out of my head. And it's changing the way I pray. It's changing the way I think about things. Because as things come up in the world, the situation in Iraq, the situation in Iran, I'll be thinking about that and I'll kind of find myself falling into worry. And the Holy Spirit will be like, April, I'm mighty God. I'm mighty God. Or I'll be thinking about a situation. I'm like, God, I'm kind of anxious about this. I'm Prince of Peace. Lord, I don't know what to do here. April, I'm Your counselor. Lord, I don't know what, I'm Prince of Peace. And so he's all of those things, and He wants to come in, and He wants to lead us, and He wants to guide us, and He wants to dwell. He wants to speak with you. He wants that intimacy with you. And Paul's praying, I pray that you would be strong with power in your inner person, that Christ may dwell, be at home in your heart. He wants that kind of relationship with you. He may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and established in love. I want to camp out of these two words for just a second. I know we have some gardeners in the house, and if you plant roses, or you plant, my dad loved to plant trees when I was a kid, and you go to my house now, we have all these beautiful dogwoods, and it's taken 20 or 30 years for the oak, but they're gorgeous right now. But when I was a kid, my dad would go out, and he'd go out to the woods, and he'd find these trees, and he would pamper those things. He would put root stimulator in those things, because he's like, I want the roots to go down. If you plant roses, you got to get the root stimulator in there so those things will grow. And Paul's praying, I want us to be rooted in God's love. Not rooted in tradition, not rooted in sentimentality, not rooted in just Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge is good, but he said, I want you to be grounded and rooted in God's love, in Him. We need the roots of our heart, the roots of who we are, to be so grounded and rooted in God's love that when the winds blow and the trials of life come, we are standing and we're rooted in His love. Rooted, established, made firm in His love. That's the first word, rooted. Firmly established. And the word that Holy Spirit brought up today, I was doing some work on this morning, is this word for established. It's a word for lay a foundation. If you're building something, down at Aldersgate several years ago, I was working in the office down there, and they tore down their sanctuary and built a new one. And so I was working in the office, and so I got to watch all of that. They had wood and plastic, but you peek out. But you know the longest part of that whole program? Was laying the foundation. And if your foundation isn't right, your foundation's gonna crack, your building's gonna crack. The foundation has to be right. And as those contractors were doing their research and they raised that building, they tore it down and they're getting ready to build, they're like, this foundation isn't good. This ground, this dirt, is too healthy. It had been farmland. And they're like, we need to put some clay, we need to bring some clay in here so this foundation is solid. And so it took a lot more time because then they had to bring in some clay and they had to take it and pound it. It took a long, long, long time. But the foundation had to be right. And Paul's praying, I want you to be rooted in His love. Your roots of your heart go deep in His love. And I want you to be firmly established. Have a foundation in God's love. And the word there for lay a foundation, the tense of that word is something that is not like just one and done. It's an ongoing process. We can say, yeah, I was saved. I got saved and fill it in. But how's your foundation? When trials come, our foundation can get shaken. When scary things in the world come, our foundation can be shaken. And we need a continual infilling, a continual knowledge, a continual experience of God's love. Our foundation needs a continual update. If you have a computer, you have a phone, it has to be updated, right, to have the latest things. And you need an update. We need an update on God's love. We need a fresh taste of His love because things come in, anxieties come. And this is this is fresh bread, man, right hot off the presses. As I'm meditating on that this morning, I'm meditating on this word, lay a foundation. I'm thinking about that, and the Lord reminded me of the parable of the soils. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go. This is so important. This is so important. Living in the day that we're in right now, with a lot of things happening, scary things are happening, and I think Jesus is coming soon. We need to be ready for that. Remembering that Jesus Himself said the love of most is going to grow cold because there are going to be things happening. We need to remember this. Luke chapter 8, only parable that Jesus explains. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. When his disciples asked what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables." He explains that. So the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones who are on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. Why is it we need to pray this prayer? Why is it the roots of our heart need to go deep in His love? We need to know it. We need to experience it. We need to stand on it. No matter what happens, He loves you. He died on the cross for you. That is truth. The enemy is all of the time trying to undermine the love of God, just like he did in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. Even Adam, did God really say you can't eat from that? Did he really say that? Did he really say that? The enemy is trying to steal away the word. He's constantly accusing and slandering the character of God. If God loved you, he wouldn't allow that to happen. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through that. God really loved you. If he really did, he's always trying to undermine the love of God. And so we've got to have hearts that are grounded and rooted. And right here with this, they believe for a season, but because there is no root, in a time of testing, they fall away. Believe, that's the temptation of the hour right now. That's the temptation. Right now, will we stand? Will we believe in his love no matter what? Verse 14 in Luke 8. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Love of God, Bible study, inviting Jesus into my heart. I've got too much to do. I can't do that. I got too much going on. I don't have time for Jesus. I don't have time. I don't have time. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Whew. Paul's praying we've got to be grounded and rooted. Jesus is the most important thing. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. Paul's praying, I pray that God would strengthen you with power in your inner person, that Christ may live and dwell and be in your heart, and that you being rooted like a tree that's had root stimulator. So when the derecho comes, I lived in Marion when the derecho came. Y'all remember that? Remember that storm? It's really scary. The trees my dad planted, they're still there. But a lot of trees got uprooted. They got uprooted. Because there was too much water and the wind was too strong and the roots didn't go deep enough. May we be rooted and established. Continual process, getting more, getting filled up every day. We need more. We need the foundation of His love. We need more. Father, fill us, fill us, fill us. Rooted. And grounded, established in love. Not sentimentality. Not a love that says yes to everything and there's no to holiness. It's a love, that word's agape, it's a word for sacrificial, it's a word for God's love, grounded in Him, in His love. Because God is love. He's love, grounded in Him. And He's saying, may you have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Is that a lot of love? The height, the depth, the length, the width of His love. There's always more. there is always more. And Paul is praying, I want you to know His love. It's more than just getting saved. It's a process. It's growing in it, and there's more of it. And he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That's an astounding thing that Paul would say that. Paul was, I would argue, he may have been one of the most intelligent biblical scholars that's ever lived. He was a Pharisee. He was trained in the Bible. He knew the Word of God. He knew it. And he says there's more about God's love. It's higher than knowledge. It surpasses what we can comprehend with our mind. It's more than what you know. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's astounding. A love that surpasses knowledge. A love, that's astounding in and of itself. Love that surpasses what we can comprehend with our mind. So you have that. Then you also have a love that is all the fullness of God. Isn't that awesome? Do you want to know the fullness of God? Yes, He's powerful. Yes, He's creator. And I love nature. And God reveals Himself in nature. I've told you this, I love a good thunderstorm. I love looking at sunsets. And I loved going out to California and seeing the mountains. Absolutely astounding. It's beautiful. And all of those things. And you think, oh yes, that's who God is. That's the fullness of who He is. That's part of who He is. But we don't know the fullness of God until we begin to comprehend His love. Because He is love. That's who He is. And if we're going to grow in Him and know Him, it's knowing His love that surpasses all knowledge. It's tasting. It's an experience. It's knowing beyond here into here that you really are loved. Fullness of who He is. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know. No, not me. How does 20 and 21 address that? He's able to do far more than we can ask or think according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. His love is available to you. If you look at this in context of the book of Ephesians, I want you to look at what comes right before it in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is talking about something that he knows and he's experienced. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring light for everyone. What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you to not lose heart over what I'm suffering for you. Paul is saying, he's praying this prayer because he has experienced God Himself. Go over to Acts chapter 9. What had Paul been doing? Acts chapter 6. He hated Christians. He thought he was zealous. He was a Pharisee and he hated them. He was killing them. He gave the nod to Stephen. When Stephen was the first Christian martyr, he nodded and he held the garments of all of that. And yet he encountered Jesus on the road. He had an encounter with Jesus that completely changed the way he thought, completely changed his direction, completely changed and transformed him. And he says, this one who I had been persecuting, God made that mystery known to me, and I've encountered him. And Jesus, I know what I'm talking about, Paul's saying, because he loves me. I was a wretch. I was a sinner. And he changed me, and he transformed me. He's made known the mystery of his will, that it's all of us. He's chosen all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, into a relationship with him. He wants us to encounter him. He wants us to know him. And all of the promises in the Old Testament, I used to read them and be like, God, why aren't there lovey-dovey promises in the New Testament? Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with my loving kindness. Zephaniah 3:17, this was my favorite one. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And I would read that and be like, God, why aren't there promises like that in the New Testament? I want to know you like that. You're a mighty warrior. You rejoice over me with singing. Lord, why is there this discrepancy? These great promises of love in the Old Testament, but I don't see that in the New Testament. You know why? The promise was given in the Old Testament. God gave it through Jesus, and he's the fulfillment. Love is an act. It's not just saying you love, but it's doing something. And God in Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, gave Jesus his Son to repair that relationship because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Church, we need to get grounded and rooted in his love, in the sacrifice that God gave in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. His body was dead. His blood poured out to repair that relationship so he could have intimacy with you. He wants that relationship with you. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul writes and he says, the Holy Spirit is given so he can shed abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. I had a hard time in my life receiving the Father's love. I really have. It's been up here. I'm like, Lord, I need to know it down here. And as I've walked with him, and as I've quit doing things, and just sit in his presence, and ask Holy Spirit to come. I'll put on a song, and we're going to play it next week. If you are here, I encourage you to come. That David Ruiz song, His Love. And I would listen to songs like that and say, Lord, I need you to take from what's up here, and I need you to put it down here. And as I would be quiet, over the years, I've gotten better at receiving His love. But I think for a lot of us, we are like that thorny soil, and we're like that rocky soil because we're so busy. We got everything going on. And Jesus took time to be with the Father. We need to do that. He loves you. He died on the cross, not just so you could check him off the list, not so you could just come on a Sunday morning. Done that? Yep. He wants to inhabit your heart. He wants to live in your heart. He wants a relationship with you. You can hear him throughout the day. His Holy Spirit will talk to you. His Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. And you know what he likes to do? He likes to sing love songs over you. He likes to sing. Pay attention, saints, of what song is in your heart. Because that's the love of the Father. And he's singing over you. We cannot help our family. We cannot be agents of transformation in this world. We cannot do it if we're not receiving from him first. I encourage you to pray the prayers that are in Ephesians chapter 1 and are in Ephesians chapter 3, because he wants a relationship with you. And he wants the knowledge to come from here to go down here. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. If He's able to break through my prideful, arrogant, stubborn heart that just couldn't get it, He's able to do that for you too. He wants that for all of us. Father of glory, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would strengthen us in our inner person, that You would live in our heart through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and grounded in Your love, would have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and high and deep and long Your love is for each one of us, and to know Your love that surpasses all knowledge. Father, I pray that we would encounter You, that we would know You, the fullness of what You died to give us. Jesus, You died on the cross, the greatest gift, the greatest act of love that's ever been demonstrated. You transformed the Apostle Paul. Lord, You gave these beautiful promises in the Old Testament that are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I thank You that You are indeed a mighty warrior in our midst, and You long to sing songs over us, and You're singing over us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would have hearts that are open and tender. The hindrances in our heart, Lord, to You, to Your love. Some of us have been so very deeply wounded. It's really hard, Lord. We put a cage over our heart, and we've said, I'm not letting anybody in again. We've been so hurt, and we've been so wounded. And Lord, we just invite You in. All You want is an invitation. So Lord, we just invite You in. And Lord, I pray in 2020, we would know more of Your love this year than we've ever known before. I pray we would be rooted and grounded continually, a process like water. Just one water, one thunderstorm doesn't mean we've got water for the year. It's continual. It needs to happen. And Lord, I pray for seasons of refreshing upon this body. Seasons, Lord, water, water, water. Fill us with Your love, Lord. Open our eyes to who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.
Thank you.
Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I thank you, Lord, that there is not one of us here that you do not long to hold us, to comfort us, to heal us, to deliver us. All we have to do is cry out to you, love lifted me. May we grow more and more and more in the knowledge, the experience, the encounter of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.